Wow. I love that music, Jess. Fires me up, man.
Terry, that's the music of victory.
Yeah.
And we're living, Terry, we are living post-resurrection. It happened 2,000 years ago in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And the resurrection is total victory, totally accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
However, we can't take that for granted. What do I mean by that? We're the church militant, which means we must win the victory in our own life by the power of the resurrection and live and die in a state of grace.
Well,
that's how we appropriate the power of the resurrection, living and dying in a state of grace. Terry, I'm on duty.
I'm on duty too, sir. And Jess, you were gone yesterday. I was deputized as a deputy for your Jesus 911. I laughed too. I thought it was great. I'm glad to have you back, Jess. Today's going to be a good show. Before I talk about the topics, I just want to let everybody know we're not on YouTube for the next 2 weeks. We've been reprimanded again. I will just say this. Yesterday when Jess was traveling, I made a comment, Jesse. I pointed out that pornography is much worse than the epidemic of COVID-19. and I demonstrated that. And
that got us in trouble.
You know what, Jess? I got you in trouble many times, and I'm probably going to do it in the future. But we are going to be back in 2 weeks, God willing, but we're transferring all of our shows to another format. But if you want to see us today on Facebook, you still can see us Facebook Live if you want to watch it. But you know what? That's what happens when you preach the truth in charity. And I also brought up the fact, Jesse, that in my talk yesterday about pornography, I said, you know, the amount of pornography that's available through YouTube versus Bishop Strickland's show when he was commenting on the Sixth Commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, we got reprimanded by YouTube saying that that's offending our listenership. You see how bad things have gotten, folks? But I want to make a promise to you. Jess, myself, Virgin Most Powerful, we're going to continue to give the perennial teachings of the church, and if the culture rejects us for it, well, so be it, Jess. They rejected Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So we're in good company.
Oh, that's right.
All right. Today's topics, Jess, we're going to talk about reporters finally getting a view of the border and how disgusting it is, what's happening down there at the border. Wow. But the most important topic we're going to talk about for the show really is about the Holy Eucharist and the idea that Cardinal Burke, who is a canon lawyer, one of the top lawyers in the world, has made a statement that politicians are in apostasy and are automatically excommunicated because of their pro-abortion stance. And we're going to go through a very laborious statement, answering question of the cardinal stating so clearly. Now, why is this important? Because the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And so we're going to cover all of the above. But before we do that, yes, I'm so glad you're back. Soul food, brother.
Terry, I'll tell you why we're in YouTube jail right now. I'll tell you because the Bible is very clear.
Yeah.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching.
You nailed it.
But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth.
Well said. That's it.
That's exactly what we're living right now. Okay, John chapter, today's gospel at the holy sacrifice of the Mass or the sacred liturgy or the divine liturgy, whatever you want to call it. Yep. John chapter 3, verse 7 to 15.
Famous.
Yep. Nicodemus, by the way, was a closet follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know
right.
that from sacred tradition, the
yes.
fathers of the church. It says, here's the conversation that our master, our Lord, had with the great Pharisee Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can this happen? Jesus answered and said to him, you are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony. He's talking about the Israelites and the Pharisees as well. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Couple things that jump out there. Verse 6, where our Lord is, he's basically contrasting the flesh with the spirit. Okay, John the Apostle is contrasting our Lord's words. So what does that mean? Well, the flesh represents a natural way of looking at things, an earthly, a human way of looking at things, while the spirit, that signifies looking at things with supernatural eyes, with heavenly eyes, and with divine eyes. But the spirit and the flesh, it's very interesting that our Lord has bridged the gap between these two realms. Mm-hmm. How did he do this? He bridged it by the incarnation, mm-hmm. by him, the second person of the Trinity, pure spirit, taking on a body. He's now taken matter to convey spirit. In other words, material things, his matter and the sacraments now convey spiritual realities. Verse 8 also jumps out at me, where our Lord talks about the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason our Lord, he talks about, you know, the direction and destiny of the wind being mysterious, he's basically using that by way of teaching that the Holy Spirit is also called the wind. Ruach could mean spirit or wind in Hebrew. So the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, it moves even more mysteriously in the lives of believers. I mean, who would have thunk that the great Nicodemus, the Pharisee, could be a closet follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Another thing that jumps out at me, where our Lord talks about, or in verse 11, he talks about bearing witness and the fact that the Jews or the Israelites don't receive the testimony. Well, we know that the Bible teaches that in order for something to be validated, it needs two witnesses. Well, here in verse 11, our Lord is saying, this testimony is validated by myself, one, and John the Baptist, two. I mean, that this is Old Testament a law, that testimony is validated by two witnesses. So our Lord is saying, I'm a witness, and John the Baptist is a witness. And the last thing that jumps out to me is verse 14. Where it says that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So this is a reference to the book of Numbers chapter 21. This is when Moses, the great prophet, hoisted a bronze serpent upon a pole as a remedy for the faithless, unbelieving Israelites that were being bitten by poisonous serpents. And Moses promised to save everyone. He intervened before God. God, through Moses, promised to save everyone who looked to the bronze serpent in search of his mercy, what we celebrated yesterday, the Feast of the Divine Mercy. And so our Lord is seen in this story. This relic is an image of his own crucifixion and the healing that it will bring to a sinful world. He will be lifted up where? On a cross, which is something that we celebrate at Mass, the Paschal Mystery. His passion, death, and resurrection happens at every Mass. So when Jesus is lifted up on the cross, he's also lifted up from the grave, and also he's lifted up into heaven. This is how all men will be drawn to him. Terry?
Well said. Yes, I'm glad you're back. Your catechesis on commentary is excellent. All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Full sheen ahead. Remember, we're going to be talking about the Holy Eucharist and talking about those who have a pro-death view on abortion should not be receiving Holy Communion. Not only that, our cardinal has said it's excommunicating them. So here's what Bishop Sheen has to say. We can lose our souls not only by doing evil, but also by neglecting the good. Now, Jesse, that statement reaffirms what Saint Pope Felix III, a saint, back in 475 said. Nothing's changed. These are perennial teachings. He said it, and we've said it many times. Not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it, and indeed to neglect to confine evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. That applies to us parents, Jesse, mom and dad with the kids, and it also applies to bishops. It applies to all of us. If you have a responsibility to raise your kids and you don't give them the faith and you let them wallow in sin just by saying, oh, it's okay, Johnny, you're a good boy. Go ahead and cross the 10 freeway, Interstate 10, when we have, 300,000 cars driving by. That's sinful to tell your son to do that, because you're a dad. You're supposed to protect the flock. And this applies to our bishops, and we're going to find out later in the show how this is really important for our shepherds to be true shepherds to protect the flock from evil. Hey, Jess, when we come back, you got a story here about the border. And I'm telling you, man, we've heard lots of stories about what's going on, but now reporters are showing pictures, and it's pathetic. It's disgusting to see what's happened out there. And again, we're going to talk about it because we'd like to see something change there and not continue to have all these horrible things happening on the border of our country. It's really a tragedy that's taking place there.
Terry, I got a teaser on the next segment. Okay. I got a short little good news story.
Oh, great.
Well, something happening in Russia. You're not going to believe it. I'll make it quick.
Yeah, let's
do that. Good news story from Russia.
When we get back, Jesse's good news story from Russia, and then we'll talk about the border problem. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Jess and I are too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess Romero, Terry Barber, we'd be billionaires. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back. Straight Talk Catholicism. Two Catholic men with PhDs in common sense. Terry, there's somebody else that has common sense, and not only common sense, I think he also has the Holy Spirit guiding him.
Mm-hmm.
His name's the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. People are going to say, "What? How can you
how
say
that be, Jesse?
Check this out, Terry.
I love it.
Yeah, okay?
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin, just a few days ago, they have their own executive orders over there as well, okay? Mm-hmm. He's a president of Russia. He just signed an executive order saying Russia is going to outlaw same-sex marriage here, period. End of discussion, no appeals, no same-sex marriage will ever happen here in Russia.
God bless him.
And he basically, Terry, the Russian patriarch, I guess him and they were, he was advising Putin. And Putin says, yeah, you're right. I'm going to do it by my presidential office. So he was influenced by the Russian patriarch, the Russian Orthodox Church over there.
Good.
He also signed an executive order banning transgenderism, the whole propaganda, pride parades, LGBTQ propaganda, all that is banned in Russia now by executive order. Okay?
Yep.
And he's been president for 20 years, Terry. He also signed two other constitutional amendments that are going to allow him to remain in power until 2036. So he's going to make sure, Terry, that so long as he's alive, he's like 68, I think. He's not going to allow this, all the filth from the West pour into Russia. So he voted himself in for two more terms. So here's the point that I'm saying.
Yeah.
He wears a Russian Orthodox cross. He's not an atheist. And all I could say is I think the last couple of popes that have prayed for the consecration of the world to Our Lady, some of that grace, Terry, without a doubt, fell upon Russia, because some of the laws that this guy's signing are so right on point with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, all I can say is the family is the source of a country. And if you have laws that protect the family from decadence, from immorality, I say hooray for him, because the country is going to benefit greatly from that. I would also encourage him one other issue, because it was 1920 when Russia was the first major country to allow abortion. And you could see what it did to its population in Russia.
Right.
Outlaw abortion, and that also will help a country, because if you can't, you can't have
Absolutely.
Much of a country if you're killing off your future yeah. citizens.
I'll look into that, Terry. Look into Russia's maybe for tomorrow's
yeah,
show
for
to
abortion.
Look into Yeah, I don't know what their current position is.
I know this, that they're giving bonuses to people.
Yeah, we did a show on
that. You're right. We did a show about the bonuses for having more children. Because they realize, without children, you're sunk.
I remember several years ago, we did a show. I'll find the article where it says that Putin is asking women to at least have three children.
Yeah.
And he's paying 15,000 whatever Russian rubles for every child that's born.
Yeah.
And so... I'll look into it and so we could give some current
And Jesse, just a quick note, next Monday we have is it Peter Kraft or how do I pronounce his last
Crave,
name?
Crave.
He's going to be on. He wrote a book called How to Destroy a Western Civilization, and he ties that right into the family. So good stuff. That is good news. All right, now what's not good news, Jesse, is the border.
Yeah, Terry, the border's a mess. It's disgusting. But reporters are finally seeing the migrant conditions.
Yeah.
And my question to you is,
yeah,
does the government cause problem at the border? Does it surprise you? It doesn't surprise
me. They asked for it.
Yeah, because in fact, Biden now, Terry, is kind of looking, without mentioning, he's kind of looking at Trump's policies now, like saying, I think what my predecessor did kind of worked.
Right here.
And so, so it looks like he's trying to look back at his predecessor's
policy.
Maybe
we need to redo the border. And I guarantee you, Jesse, if he does that, you know what he's going to tell everybody? I built the wall, man.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
That was me.
He's going to say that. So, Terry, a lot of people are expressing disgust and anger at the Biden administration.
They should.
Because a pool of journalists have finally been allowed to tour and report on the migrant facilities last week. And the reporters that toured the temporary border facility in Donna, Texas.
Terrible.
A CBS reporter, Nicole Ganga, wrote the following. The Biden admin allowed pooled coverage for the first time. We saw a pod designed for 32 migrant children under CDC guidelines, now holding 615.
How is that possible?
This facility is at 1,700% pandemic capacity.
Unbelievable.
In a series of tweets, the CBS reporter went on to reveal that the conditions in which migrants, including children, are being held are far more inhumane than the Biden administration would have the public believe. And officials are keeping unaccompanied children as young as 4 months old in a recreational day and night. And the CBS reporter said, because there's no just room for them in the dormitory areas. The outdoor recreational area is being used to stage COVID testing before unaccompanied migrant children are transferred to HHS facilities. The CBS reporter said, we counted more than 50 COVID positive kids waiting for their quarantine bus right next to a soccer game. Over 2,000 migrants have been here for over the legal limit of 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 1,200 migrants are processed and waiting to be transferred to HHS facilities. The CBS reporter said, but HHS has nowhere to put them.
Yep.
And at least 39 unaccompanied migrant children have been in the temporary processing facility for more than 15 days. And apparently the legal limit, according to the government, is 72 hours.
Yeah.
Also, a U.S. Customs and Border Patrol official who wanted to remain nameless told reporters that the agency expects over 1 million encounters of migrants at the southern border this year. And so the CBS reporter also reported that the facility is operating more than 250% over budget. It should cost $6 million per month to run this facility at its 250-person capacity. It's so overcrowded that it's costing $16 million per month. And so the CBS reporter and many other reporters, they stumbled upon 27 unaccompanied migrant children and young families outside of Mission, Texas. They also caught sight of dozens of migrants assembled beneath the Anzalduas International Bridge in the same town, living like homeless people.
Yeah.
And so, Terry, the Biden administration is under some heavy scrutiny right now.
And Jesse, why? Let's just be honest about who brought this on. Okay, who advertised that if I become the president, I'm going to be able to let these guys come in? Who's responsible for those migrants, many of them wearing shirts that says, Mr. Biden, thank you? I'll tell you who that is, Jesse. It's Mr. Biden. It's President Biden. He made this crisis happen because of what he said and what he's doing. That's really as simple as it is.
Yeah, Terry, this is a man-caused crisis.
Of course.
And again, it's kind of embarrassing, but the Biden administration is now kind of looking back at Trump's policies.
Yeah, of course.
And they're wondering, maybe we should take a look at what our predecessor did. Because let me tell you, President Trump had the most secure borders that I've ever seen
in our
lifetime.
I agree with you.
And Terry, he used very humane measures, proportionate humane measures. And he basically told all those countries,
He made them accountable, though.
He says, hey, Honduras, how much do we give them? X amount of dollars a year.
Yeah.
How much do we pay Peru? X amount of... So he called up the presidents. He says, guess what? No more money for you guys unless you stop the flow of your illegal immigrants coming to our country. Guess what, Terry?
Yeah.
All those presidents said, no problem, Mr. President. You know, we want a little bit of federal dollars here. So, yeah, we'll make sure that we secure our own borders and nobody leaves. Well... it worked, Terry.
Yeah, it sounds like a businessman running the country.
Yeah.
You know, really, you think? Of course. And what do politicians do? What Mr. Biden is doing. And, you know, this is getting us into a big mess. There's no responsibility on any of the countries south of us. And so there's chaos going on the border. And I feel bad for those children, for the adults. This was put on by our stupidity. I'm sorry, Jesse, I used the word stupidity because... we asked for this, and it's really sad that it's happening right now.
Yeah, Terry, and it's funny, but Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, they asked her. So a reporter asked her and said, well, speak up and speak out. This is a humanitarian disaster, Dems, and you know it. So the White House secretary, Jen Psaki, she replied to the reporter from... it was Buzz Patterson. She replied, she says, there's a pandemic going on. I'm sure you're not suggesting that we have children right next to each other in ways that are not COVID safe, are you? Terry, of course that's... Our eyes don't lie to us.
Yeah, you think?
Jen Psaki, of course that's... we're not implying that. That's what we're telling you.
Yeah, the facts.
Okay? The Biden administration... is running those temporary migrant facilities in an unsafe and an inhumane manner. Oh, boy, if this was the Trump administration or Bush or Reagan running a border, these temporary facilities, stuffing people like sardines, Terry, there would be a hue and cry. We wouldn't stop hearing about it.
Yep.
And there would be an international United Nations response to this. But because... it's a friend of the left oligarchs, deep state. What do you hear from people around the world and the United Nations and the international community? Crickets, nothing.
Yeah, there's a good reason for that. You know that? Because they're running. This is why I say our politics should not override our Catholic faith.
Amen.
And this is where a good example, our Catholic faith tells us states have countries have a right to regulate who comes into their countries. And so we need to do it the proper way and not the illegal way. That's never been the case of the Catholic Church's teaching. And so, again, politics over religion? No, religion over politics. Just like in Russia, you gave that good news story, the bishop, the patriarch, influenced the president. Bishops, try to influence Mr. Biden to be a Catholic. He's baptized a Catholic. Call him out, man. Jess, I'm serious. Call the man out and say, look, I'm a shepherd. I'm responsible, especially I'm the Archbishop of Washington, D.C. Jesse, he is responsible for every soul in that diocese, including Biden.
Boy, oh boy, is he in for a surprise if he doesn't if he doesn't man up and act like an apostle. Is he in for a big rude awakening? Yeah.
And that's why we ask him to man up. We ask him with our prayers every Thursday night. We pray here at the chapel for bishops, priests, and the Pope to do the right thing as shepherds. And
Lord Jesus Christ, give the Cardinal from Washington, D.C. apostolic courage and fortitude. I pray this in Jesus' name through Mary's intercession.
Amen. When we come back, Cardinal Burke He says pro-abortion politicians are in an apostasy and they're automatically excommunicated. Well, he should know. He's a canon lawyer. We'll be back with more to go through all of that here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This is one courageous cardinal.
You got that right.
His name is Raymond Burke. He used to be the chief canon lawyer in the Catholic Church. He's still a canon lawyer. He always will be. He says that pro-abortion politicians are in apostasy. That means one who rejects the faith and that they're automatically excommunicated. Terry, I'm going to tell you, so many people are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. They're going to think like, oh, I was rich and I was powerful. I was a good Catholic, a devout Catholic. And they're going to go to the judgment seat and our Lord's going to say, don't you know that you were automatically excommunicated in 1983? Or, Lord, what are you talking about? I was a devout Catholic. No, this position that you made public on the life issues automatically excommunicated you. And in fact, I send my servant, Cardinal Raymond Burke, to tell you, and you just laughed at him, Terry.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And just, he is the former apostolic signatory, which is the highest canon lawyer in the church. He released a statement. Now, he's in his 70s, Jesse. He's getting old. And I just got to believe, I've met him. You met him in Phoenix or Tucson when we had the family conference. Mm. Great man. But I believe that he's saying, look, like Archbishop Vigano, they're getting old. And I say, you know, I'm going to tell it like it is because I'm going to be, you know, meeting my own judgment seat. And I got to clear my conscience to say, look, at least I warned these people. He's declaring this and that he's telling them that they should not be receiving Holy Communion. And again, he explained that it's been written to clarify the question which Catholic and non-Catholics alike pose with regards to how Catholics, particularly politicians, are being allowed to receive Holy Communion, like our president, right in Washington, D.C., while who's publicly promoting programs and laws which violate church teachings. Now, Jesse, I have to also say, and this is very embarrassing for the cardinal to have to say this, when President Biden even goes to Rome, Pope Francis gives him Holy Communion. No. Okay? No, it's a scandal. I don't want to have to say that, Jesse. It hurts me to have to say the vigor of Christ is compromising on this. And who am I? Joe Sixpack, you know, little guy here. But you know what? I feel like it's the truth. I don't feel, I know it's the truth. And even at the highest levels of the church, we have to respectfully call them out. Such a question applies particularly, he said, to those who are engaged in promotion of abortion on demand, as well as laws violating the dignity of human life, the integrity of human sexuality, marriage and family, and the free practice of religion. Right from the top of our church right now, Jesse, we've got people being elevated to positions in the church who are for abortion. They're coming to Catholic events in Rome, and they're pro-abortion. And we give them a platform as a church to spoot out that error. This touches on the very foundations of the Catholic Church teachings regarding faith and morals. Thank you, Cardinal Burke. Jesse, we've been saying this for years, but it's refreshing to hear a cardinal say something like this. It's the cardinal who represents the church's teaching in this statement so as to help those who are rightly confused. And, Jess, you know how confused people are. Indeed, frequently they're scandalized by all the too common public betrayal of the Catholic Church teachings on faith and morals by those who profess to be Catholic. Amen, mm. Cardinal. Continue, Jess.
Yeah, Cardinal Burke, he also wrote the following quote.
Yeah.
Those who have been excommunicated or interdicted after the imposition or declaration of the penalty and others obstinately persevering in grave sin are not to be admitted to Holy Communion, close quote.
Amen.
So what does all this mean? It means that as a result, priests and bishops must instruct and admonish faithful who are in such a state in order to prevent offenses against God through unworthy reception of Holy Communion, which leads to their eternal damnation. and it can lead others into error and even sin in such a serious matter.
That's huge.
Now, of course, we know that Cardinal Burke, without mentioning him by name, he was likely talking about the pro-abortion, pro-LGBT U.S. President Joe Biden. Biden, although he claims to be Catholic, has called abortion an essential health service. Did you catch that?
That's horrible.
Biden has called abortion an essential health service. And he and advocates a number of policies which promote the LGBT ideology in everyday life in America and across the world. And since entering the White House, Biden has marked his tenure with a number of policies and appointments that radically advance the abortion agenda and serve to undermine many of the pro-life victories achieved under former President Trump.
Just the facts.
Yep. And despite his prolific public support for abortion, Joe Biden continues to attend Mass. And that's a good thing, but this is not a good thing. He receives Holy Communion with the newly appointed Archbishop of Washington, Wilton Cardinal Gregory, having promised, Cardinal Gregory has promised that he would not refuse Holy Communion to Biden.
Sad.
This is scandalous.
Yes.
Cardinal Burke says, yet the clergy are not permitted to allow one to receive Holy Communion if he is in public and obstinate grave sin.
Which he is.
And again, you don't have to read his mind because nobody could read somebody's mind or their heart. All you have to do is look at his public policy, say, yep. Hey, sir, you can't receive Holy Communion and get back in the pew. I just read yesterday your public the executive order you signed. You are completely opposed to the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. And the former Archbishop of St. Louis, Cardinal Burke, he appeared to take aim at the policy of dialogue with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, as well as individual bishops have taken with regard to Biden and his pro-abortion policies. Now, personally, of course, I don't have a problem with dialoguing with people that don't agree with you. But the dialogue that we should engage in, Terry, should be one of truth. In other words, we can't compromise. We have to share the truth like the apostles did, and come what may, if we face, the gory mane of a lion or the fires of a pole or the sword of a Roman soldier. Our dialogue has to be based on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not on, oh, hey, what's your opinion? Well, here's my opinion. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, let's have a cup of coffee. No, that's not dialogue, Terry.
Hey, Jesse, thank you. And he rejected this notion that a politician can privately be against abortion, yet publicly advocating or defending it, observing that such is a, here comes an erroneous moral theory, has already been rebuffed by St. John Paul II twice. So in light of this, the church refusal to distribute Holy Communion to politicians who ostensibly preserve in grave sin was born from the ecclesial duty to safeguard the holiness of the Holy Eucharist, and to prevent the faithful from committing sacrileges, and to prevent scandal among the faithful and other persons of goodwill. Continue, but let me just mention this. Think of you as a father or a mother who allow your children to do evil things. You're going to be responsible at the judgment seat. That's just the perennial teachings of the church. We have a responsibility as a mom and a dad, and the bishops have that same responsibility of being a shepherd to guide us. Well, because while some might accuse the Catholic Church of acting politically and so withholding Holy Communion, I've heard people say that. Here's what Cardinal Burke noted, that it was in fact the pro-abortion politician himself who used the Holy Eucharist for political purposes. It is rather the Catholic politician who publicly and ostensibly promotes what is contrary to the moral law and yet dares to receive sacrilegiously the Holy Communion, who uses the Holy Eucharist for political purposes. So in other words, the politician presents himself or herself as a devout Catholic. You hear that with Biden? I do. While the truth is completely the otherwise. And that's exactly the truth right now with Biden.
And the point is that St. John Paul II has already written on
twice. Yeah.
Yeah. This is an erroneous moral theory.
Splendor of the truth.
Where you as a Catholic can say, I personally believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church, but publicly I won't support them or defend them or explain them. You know what our Lord Jesus Christ calls that? He calls that duplicitous.
Yes. Right? Absolutely.
That's what it's called in the New Testament.
Yep.
And the Bible calls us not to be a duplicitous person.
Right.
In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ loves people who speak with no guile. They mean what they say. They say what they mean. That's what he told Nathaniel the apostle.
Yep.
In him, there is no duplicity. What does duplicity mean? It's exactly what Biden and Nancy Pelosi live every single day in their malformed conscience. They say, I personally believe in this, but publicly, I'm not going to enforce it because of my political party or my political leanings. So they also call that in psychology cognitive dissonance, where your mind is at war with each other because you know something is true, but you fight against it because, again, political pressure, expediency, money, or whatever. And the fact is, we call that in basic blue-collar language, hypocrite. Okay?
Yeah.
Hypocrite. You believe one thing as a Catholic personally, but you do something else as a Catholic. So in plain English speak, it's called being a hypocrite. Terry continues. Here's some meaty stuff here in the article.
Yeah, say it.
It says, in addition to the denial of Holy Communion to politicians who publicly and obstinately violate the moral law, Cardinal Burke stated that the church required the imposition of a just ecclesiastical penalty, not in order to persecute the individual, but rather to call him to conversion.
Exactly.
And for the sake of repairing the scandal which his actions had caused. Those who publicly and obstinately violate the moral law are at least in a state of apostasy. That is, they have effectively abandoned the faith by the obstinate refusal, in practice, to live in accord with the fundamental truths of the faith and morals, Canon 751, wrote Cardinal Burke. An apostate from the faith incurs automatically the penalty of excommunication, 1364 of the Code of Canon Law. We'll continue on this article.
Hey, Jesse, the most merciless thing you can do is let someone wallow in their sins. And we're asking our shepherds to speak up for the salvation of souls. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Let's continue talking about Cardinal Raymond Burke and his warning against the politicians. Then we'll wrap it up with some lighthearted stuff about, can animals sense holiness? You'll really enjoy that. So Cardinal Raymond Burke, he says, if politicians continue in the rejection or doubt of the truth concerning the intrinsic evil of abortion, as it is to be believed by divine and Catholic faith, then the individual may also be in heresy, revealed the cardinal.
Right.
Such a state automatically leads to excommunication, although once again the individual's bishop must verify the conditions for the automatically incurred excommunication. The failure to follow the discipline results in the desecration of the most sacred reality in the church, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, constitutes the most grave sin of sacrilege and causes most serious scandal by the failure to witness to the truth of Holy Communion and the moral truth. For example, the inviolable dignity of human life, the integrity of marriage and family, and the freedom to worship God in spirit and the truth. Cardinal Burke concluded, he reaffirmed the teaching consistently taught by the church, outlining that a Catholic who publicly and obstinately refuses or opposes the truth regarding faith and morals may not present himself or herself to receive Holy Communion, and neither may the minister of Holy Communion give him or her the sacrament. And the most recent declaration by Cardinal Burke comes on the back of a number of pronouncements and interviews that he's given.
Right.
In which he's just directly attacked Biden by name for his stance on abortion, LGBT issues, and Catholic moral teaching. Just days ago, he gave a glimpse of his recent statement discussing the issue of apostasy and excommunication and calling on clergy to deny Biden Holy Communion should he remain obstinate in his unwilling promotion of abortion. Terry?
Yeah, Jesse, I want to just say that Cardinal Burke is saying this. It's my hope that the following points of the church teachings will be helpful to those who are rightly confused, indeed frequently scandalized by all too common public betrayal of the church teachings on faith and morals. Now, for those who profess the Catholic faith, he said, I want to address these questions. We can't get them all, but I'm going to make a comment that the Cardinal doesn't make, Jesse, and see if I'm onto something. I believe those folks who go to Holy Communion, knowing that they're for killing unborn babies or maybe even living second or third marriages and going to Holy Communion, I would say it's a fair statement, you know, that those folks don't even believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
Exactly.
And am I onto something, Jess? That's my point. I think they just think it must be just a piece of bread. Because what's the big deal?
Yeah, what are you guys making the big deal about?
Yeah, you see, but we actually believe it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. So here's what his first one says. Regarding the Holy Eucharist, the church has always believed and taught that the sacred host is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, the God, the Son incarnate. The faith of our church is thus expressed by the Council of Trent. So it goes on and on. Basically, he sets the stage in these questions that you have on our show page and on jessromero.com. The questions and answers regarding the Holy Eucharist. I think we need a catechesis problem on the Holy Eucharist because that's what led to many politicians and many people thinking anybody can go to Holy Communion, even non-Catholics. That's prominent also, Jesse, unfortunately.
Yeah, Terry, and we need catechesis also amongst the clergy. The
clergy need it.
Yeah. I want to just thank my bishop. Bishop Olmsted just wrote a powerful document on Holy Thursday and the real presence.
Awesome. I read it.
Yeah, and he's, again, he just gives the perennial teachings of the church, not his own opinions.
Right.
And he's just a faithful shepherd. And I guess he wanted to give us that document because he's short-timing. Terry, Cardinal Burke, he was on EWTN a few days ago with Raymond Arroyo.
I saw it, yeah.
And he rejected the idea that Biden is a devout Catholic. He said Cardinal Burke accused Biden of promoting the attack on the innocent defense of the unborn. So he says, this guy is not a devout Catholic. Terry, and if you want to get inspiration, today's feast day is an optional feast day. Yeah. St. Martin the First, he was a Catholic pope.
Right.
Check this out. Talk about courage.
I love it.
He was elected pope in 649 AD.
Mm-hmm.
So Pope Martin the First, he promptly convened a Lateran Council to resolve the Monothelite heresy, which asserted that Jesus had only a divine will and no human will, and this undermined the integrity of the human nature of Jesus Christ that he assumed for our redemption on the cross. And so in promulgating the Orthodox teaching, this pope, he drew the anger of the Byzantine Emperor Constans II. So the Byzantine Emperor had the Pope arrested and imprisoned for 2 years.
Wow.
Pope St. Martin suffered exile, public indignities, and terrible mistreatment in prison, but he held fast to the Lord. And from his prison cell in Naxos, Greece, here's what he wrote, quote, "For 47 days I have not been given water to wash in. I am frozen through and wasting away. But God sees all things, and I trust in him." Close quote. St. Martin the First, pray for us.
I would encourage.
That's what I call a bishop, Terry.
And that's why I would encourage Bishop Gregory Wilton, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., to take courage from St. Martin the First to see what he's willing to do. I realize, Jesse, President Biden could tell Archbishop Gregory in Washington, we're not going to give you funding. We're not going to, you know, you're not going to be welcome to parties with us anymore. Are you kidding me? Compared to the salvation of souls, Bishop Gregory, we're going to pray extra hard Thursday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel for you because the right thing to do is give them the truth. I feel so bad about it because so many shepherds think that political correctness is more important than the salvation of souls. Okay, I said it, Jess. You know why I say it? Because I see it. They don't want to offend anybody. Stop worrying about offending YouTube or are, you know, tell the truth and charity and love. And that's what I'm hoping we'll do more of. What Cardinal Burke, he gave me inspiration as a cardinal, because I know Jesse, he was already a marked man. But after this,
He
even said this clearly: no priest or bishop can grant permission to a person, even the Pope can't grant permission in public, who's in grave sin to receive Holy Communion. You know why? Because the Pope isn't above Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's why, Jesse. That's my simple answer.
Terry, ended up with some funny stories here. Did you know that animals recognize holiness?
All right.
Let me give you a few stories here.
Okay.
Okay, here's one famous day that St. Francis wanted to preach, but the chirping of the birds would not stop.
Yep.
So the saint asked the birds to be silent, and they complied, and they listened attentively to his sermon.
That's a great story. Yeah, I love that one.
And when St. Francis finished his preaching and exhortation, he made the sign of the cross over the birds to bless them, and they launched themselves into the air, exhaling wonderful songs, scattering in all directions. Here's another one. Something similar happened with St. Anthony of Padua, another Franciscan friar. One Sunday, St. Anthony went to preach to the fishermen in the port of Rimini, but they paid him no attention and made fun of him. Then St. Anthony went to the water's edge and began to preach to the fish. The fish began to gather in front of him, raising their heads and watching him intently as he spoke to them. And they only dispersed when St. Anthony gave them the blessing. This made a great impression on the inhabitants of the city, many of whom began to cry for forgiveness. And here's another one. It's also said that the holy mountain of Puerto Rico, Elenita de Jesus, at the beginning of the 20th century, had great power over animals, that she preached around 6 in the afternoon and the animals were silent, listening to her words. Here's one more. Yeah. St. Anthony of Padua. Again, we also know about him preaching to the fish in Rimini. It's one of the most impressive and remembered Eucharistic miracles that took place. Here's what happened. 13th century. The Pitaran heretics, as the Cathars were called in northern Italy, had reduced the Eucharist to a simple memorial dinner. With this, they hurt the church in what is most vital to it. On one occasion, St. Anthony of Padua tried to reconvert a heretic by speaking to him of the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. The heretic was named Bonvio, and he told him that if he could prove this with a miracle, he would abjure the heresy and he would become a Catholic, and with him the rest of the Cathars. So then the heretic proposed to him that he would lock up his mule, depriving him of food for 3 days, after which he would take it out in the presence of the people and put a forage in front of it to feed it, and on the other side, St. Anthony would put a consecrated host. He promised that he would convert to the Catholic faith if the mule rejected the food and worshiped the consecrated host. St. Anthony accepted the challenge and fasted for 3 days. When the challenge arrived, St. Anthony celebrated Mass in front of a large number of people who had gathered. Then he brought the Blessed Sacrament with great reverence in front of the mule. Well, guess what? Bonvio also brought with him food, and St. Anthony said these words to the mule: by virtue and in the name of the Creator, which I, however unworthy, truly hold in my hands, I call you an animal and order you to approach quickly with humility and present yourself with due veneration. Immediately the mule knelt in front of the Blessed Sacrament, lowered his head to the ground as if genuflecting, and ignored the food. The people were amazed, and the heretic Bonvio rejected his heresy and converted to the Catholic faith along with his followers. There's more stories you can get by going to the show page or by vmpr.org. Terry?
Those are all great stories, Jess. I want to remind people the Catholic Men's Conference is coming up June 12th. Jess Romero and Eddie Chavez will be there for that men's conference. So you can sign up by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, because it's going to be in-house. I want to also recommend this, because I got a statement here from the state of California that we are opening up our churches. They can't limit us now. So that's good news. So we'll have the men's conference in the church and also online. Also for the 15th of May, I'll have another free conference on evangelization for the third millennial. And that'll be coming up next month. Also, if you missed the Divine Mercy conference with Father Don Calloway, you can still watch that. Bishop Strickland will be coming up next. This is our again, we're not on YouTube right now, so you have to go to like Facebook Live to watch our shows. And we'll be on in another 2 weeks. Hopefully, we'll get back on YouTube. But that's what happens when you speak the truth in charity. And, you know, that's who we are. We don't. We can't change. Our mission is the salvation of souls here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jesse, that's going to name the question to you. What's the question? The question is, what state should we be living in, brother?
Please live in a state of grace for the rest of your life. Please don't live in the state of mortal sin. Life is short, death is for sure, sin is the problem, and the resurrected Jesus is the cure. Terry?
We have the Bishop Strickland Hour. He's one of the best bishops in America, and he's on our network, Virgin Most Powerful. We offer it to all the other Catholic stations, like the Stations of the Cross and others, because we think it's important that our shepherds speak out with truth and charity, and that's what Bishop Strickland does. Get our free app if it's not on your station by going to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.